Today's daf in Masechet Pesachim brought to you from Yerushalayim, Yir HaKodesh, is daf Pei. And we are at daf Ayin Tet Amud Beit, in three lines up, in the middle of the line, Gufa. Okay, so what we've been talking about is how do we deal with the situation where we do not have a clear-cut rov. We have Mechza al Mechza. And we had a machlokas about whether we view mechza mechza karov, or whether we say mechza mechza ena karov. And it turned out that that machlokas between Rav and Rav Kahana had to admit that it's a machlokas tanoi, and that there are definitely is one braita that agrees with Rav. So now looking more closely at that braita, let's just consider how actually we define this mechza mechza. So, as we said, the Braita was a Tana like Rav, and Halalo Osim Latzman, V'Halalo Osim Latzman. Now, here's the new part we didn't discuss before, and that is that if the Tmeim were Otfim ala Torim, Afilu Echad, Yasu Betumav. There's even one additional individual who now is the tipping point, and he makes the rove of the tzibur tame, because of that, everybody, just because of that one person, everyone is able to bring the korban betuma. Because, after all, ein korban tzibur chaluk. We do not ever, now we saw that that's not literally true according to Rav, but where we have a rove, we will never take the korban and say, okay, well, some of you will do it differently. So only in the single case that was where the Braita is talking about was precisely Mechza Mechza, there we have two tzibors. But once we have one tzibor, the korban of that tzibor cannot be choluk into two groups. Rabbi Elazar ben Matya Omer, no, there's something deeply wrong with what you said. And that is that you said, even if it's just one additional person that makes the difference between the rov, then that's enough to get everybody to do it betuma. But that's not true. Because ena yachid machriat atzibur letuma, it's not a tzibur just because one additional person is on the other side, and that's merumas in the pasuk. Shenemar lo tuchal lizboach et haPesach beEchad. I'm convinced that that shavrecha is a mistake. Now, the drasha is from, as we see all over, that since he's reading the pasuk, you cannot be zoveach the Pesach betuma just because of one person, is the remez beEchad. Obviously, the Pashas of the Pesach is talking about needing to have the Korban Pesach in the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Shimon says, now this is a completely new idea. Rabbi Shimon's idea has nothing to do with this Pesach of Lo Tuchal Lizboach Et HaPesach BeEchad. But Rabbi Shimon's idea has to do with an extended concept of what is considered to be Mechza al Mechza. And he points out an amazing thing. That remember when Yaakov Avinu was told, Goy kahal goyim yemi mecha, and there was only one shevet that was yet to be born, and that was shevet Binyamin. And nonetheless, it's considered to be a complete goy, right? It's a complete nation. And if that's the case, it means that it's a tzibor unto itself. Therefore, one way of looking at having two tzibors would be mechza al mechza, like the brisa that was going according to Rav. With Rav's approach. But another way of looking at it is where you have one shevet, which constitutes an entire tzibur unto itself, and that shevet is rov tame, then that shevet would be makriv betuma, and the other shvatim are different tzibors, and therefore they would be makriv together. So halolo osin la'atz, it would be the same thing. And therefore, in that case, since that would be what Rav would say, but I say, now, here's where we run into a problem. If you would have the equivalent of a mechza al mechza, says Rav Yehuda, then everybody should be osa betuma. Why? Because the korban tzibur cannot be chaluk. So Rav Yehuda, he says that shevet echad is considered to be a kahal, which means that for all intents and purposes, we have here the equivalent of mechza al mechza. But he disagrees with Rav, in which Rav says the klal that ein korban tzibur chaluk does not apply where you have two equally valid tzibors. Rav Yehuda says it certainly does. And even if you have one hagdorah of a tzibur that is bringing betuma, then a korban tzibur cannot be split. And the bottom line is that we said Kol Kahal Adat Yisrael, which means that we view the Korban Pesach as one single Korban for a Tzibor. We can't split it. And because of that, it's exactly the same as a full Tzibor that's going to be Makar of Betuma, and therefore everybody brings Betuma. So here's where Rav is going to have to explain his Shita according to the approach of Rabbi Yehuda. But it starts with the misunderstanding of what Rav was saying. Oh, my Rav. Now, we thought that what Rav was referring to was the case where you have the Mechza al Mechza, right? Hoyu Yisrael, Mechza Torah, Mechza Tmeim, the classic case that Rav was talking about before. And for some reason, Rav all of a sudden changes his tune, because before Rav said, you simply bring two separate Korban Pesachs, because over here you have two perfectly valid tzibors, right? Now all of a sudden Rav changes his tune, and now Rav is talking about make sure that everybody can do it together. So what you would do is, you would be metame echad mehem b'sheretz, make one of the people who are currently tahor tame, that way the rov will be tame, and everyone can be makriv together, and that would be better. I don't understand. Didn't Rav say before, am I? Let's bring hani l'chudayo v'hani l'chudayo, because Rav just got finished saying yesterday that halalo asim latzman v'halalo asim latzman. How all of a sudden did we change that? Amre, alcha b'maya skinan, no, you see, this mimer of Rav was being made in the context of the pasuk that we darshened before of Lo Tuchal Asota Pesach Be'achad. And since in this case we had actually defined the Rov Atzibor with one person, so it's a bit of a problem, because in terms of the technical counting, you're right, it's mechza al mechza. But in reality, we do have one extra. It's just that that one extra isn't enough for us to utilize to bring the whole thing betuma. So in that case, says Rav, I would say, add one more, make him tamei b'sheretz. That way we have rov of the tzibor that's tamei. And because of that, we'd be able to be makriv betuma. Okay, that's what it's talking about. Wait. If you have one more, doesn't that mean you have a rove? So can't everybody make it to Tuma? No, no, I hold like Rabbi Elazar ben Matya, who says, Lo tuchala sota pesach be'achat. So he says, Ena yochid machriyat atzibor l'tuma. I don't understand. So then aren't we back where we started from? So, I mean, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Matya, then basically we ignore the fact that we have one extra, which means that we really do have mechza al mechza, because he says the one is irrelevant to the definition of tzibor. So then Rav says, in a case where you truly have mechza al mechza, which this is technically the same, then we do half and half. Each one brings their own korban. So ni'avdu hanu l'chudayo v'hanu l'chudayo. I don't understand how you're explaining Rav's sudden change of heart, telling us to go ahead and make somebody tummy. You're right. Okay, so you know what Rav was really saying? Rav was saying, look, according to Rav Yehuda, it's really a challenge to the way I understand the whole thing, right? Because, I mean, basically what I was saying is that you have mechza mechza. The point is that you have two actual tzibors, and that therefore you're able to bring separate korbanas. The thing is, says Rav, what would be if you agree with Rabbi Yehuda? Now, if you would agree with Rabbi Yehuda about that issue, that Ein Korban Tzibor Chaluk applies even to a case where you have two fully valid tzibors, so now you're in a really tight spot. You don't have the option of doing two separate korbanas, according to Rabbi Yehuda, because you can never bring two separate korbanas. Well, you also don't have the option of using Pesach Sheni because you have two tzibors. So what the heck are you going to do? That's the problem. So I'm saying, if you take my approach to things, and that mechza al mechza really is mechai of each one to bring their own korban, either kula b'tayra if you're Torah, or kula b'tuma if you're tamei, and you don't have the option, according to Rav Yehuda, bringing two, there's only one thing to do. Make one more of them tamei, and that way you're able to all bring together b'tuma, right? So that's what he was saying. Halkikamer. Katana. Look, if there turns out to be a Tana that holds like this Tana Kama, which is basically my Shita, that Elo Osim Latzma, Elo Osim Latzma, right? The Amra Pago Pauga, you do not make Kula Betuma. But he also holds like Rabbi Yehuda, namely that we apply the din of Ein Korban Tzibor Choluk even in a case where you have two valid tzibors. So then there's nothing to do. The only option that you have is to be Metame Mechot Me'am B'Sheretz, And that way, everybody will be able to bring their betumah. That's all that I'm saying. Okay, so Ula says, no, that's not what we do. What we need to do is we tell one of the guys to move quickly out of Yerushalayim and before he gets chayiv in the korban, and therefore at the time of the chiv of the Pesach, he was bederech rechoka, and the Torah says, Mishaya betamei o bederech rechoka, so he will make a Pesach sheni. So then that will change the number of people that we have. So we'll send away one of the Tahorim, and then that will make two additional people that are tameim, and that will tip it in the direction of the tzibur being rov tamei by two, and therefore everyone will be able to make betoma. Tosfos says, why don't we do it the other way? Send away one of the Tmeim, and then we can make a Betaira. It says, because we'd rather have everybody make one Korban. So therefore, even if it's going to be Betuma, let's basically get one of the Torah out of the way. You know, I mean, isn't it better to do what Rav said? I mean, what exactly does Ula have against what Rav said? Because, I mean, if I'm going to send somebody away, then he's not going to be able to bring his Korban Pesach now, right? He's going to have to wait till Pesach Sheni. If we take Rav's suggestion that the guy would be Tamei B'Sheretz, and remember that Sheretz being at Tumas Maga, as opposed to Zovin V'Zovais, is actually Mitztarif with the Tamei Mason, remember? So if that would be the case, sounds like a great idea what Rav said. It is a great idea, theoretically, but it won't work according to Ula, you see. Because remember, we had that big machlokas about whether somebody who is Tamei, but is going to be Torah tonight. So he's either a Tamei Mace on the last day of his Tumah on the Shvi'i Shiloh, or he's a Tamei Sheret. So he could go to the mikveh, and he's able to eat the Korban Pesach tonight. Can we send his Korban Pesach in so that we'll do the Shechita for him, and then tonight he'll have his Korban Pesach to eat, right? That was a question whether Shochtev is Zarkin al Tamei Sheretz. Now, the thing is, Ula holds that we can do that, in which case, it's not going to help to make him Tamei B'Sheretz because he is going to be the equivalent of a Torah who's able to bring his Korban B'Taira by sending it to the Beis HaMikdash and eating it tonight. So we don't have an option. We're going to have to send somebody away. What do you mean we don't have an option? So make him Tamei B'Mace. Don't make him Tamei B'Sheretz. I understand. Then he'll be Tamei for 7 days, and then he doesn't have the option of eating his Pesach tonight, and because of that, he'll be Nitchel Pesach Sheni, and that will change. I mean, he'll accomplish the same thing. So then everybody else is going to be able, the moment that he would be B'Mace, now he's added, and now everyone will make Betuma. Yeah, says Ula, but if you do that, he's not going to be able to bring his Chagiga, is he? Because, I mean, his Chagiga, he's still going to be Tamei Mei. See, if I made him Tamei B'Sheretz, then he would be Tor by the time Yontev comes around, the Chol HaMoed, he's going to be able to bring his Korban, and there wouldn't be any loss. But if I make him Tamei B'Mei, when's he going to bring his Korban Chagiga? Oh, come on, that's a crazy argument. I mean, what do you mean he's not going to be able to bring his Chagiga? So if you're going to send him away, he's not going to be able to bring his Pesach. I mean, is it better to let him bring his Pesach? Okay, if he misses his Chagiga, at least like this, everyone will bring the Pesach together. So, Matrevata Mipischo. Yeah, but he always has an option. You see, for Korban Pesach, he's got an option. His option is to bring a Pesach Sheni. I understand. For Chagiga, he's also got an option. You don't have to bring a Chagiga on the first day of Yontif. You can bring a Chagiga on the last day of Yontif. So you're going to be Metameim on the 14th, Erev Yontif. When is his last day going to be? His last day is going to be the eighth day in which he's completely Torah is going to be the last day of Yontif, because Pesach is 7 days, and he did it Erev Yontif, right? So why can't he bring his Chagiga on the last day? You know, Machu, you have to bring a Chagiga on the first day. So then he didn't lose anything. He can do it on the seventh day of Yontif, because then it's Shmini Shalom. Ah, that's because of another issue, you see. Ula holds that the din of being able to bring a Chagiga for 7 days of Yontev is only if you were able to bring that Chagiga at the beginning, the first day, and then you were Chayev. But if, when you first come to the Beis HaMikdash, you're not Chayev to bring a Chagiga, then we don't have a new Chayev that kicks in later. And that's called Kulam Tashlumi L'Rishon. All of the days of Yontev are a repayment for what is missed on the first day. But in this case, you don't have that first day. And he doesn't hold of Kulam Tashlumi Mzela Zeh, meaning any day that you couldn't bring a Chagiga, just put it off till tomorrow, in which case you could have brought it. But therefore, the Chazi B'Rishon, Chazi B'Kula, V'Kolecha Lo Chazi B'Rishon, Lo Chazi B'Kula. Since over here on the first day he was Nitche from the Chagiga, he's never able to make it up. Anyway, Reb Nachman says, look, you know, it's a very nice suggestion to get somebody to get out of the way and be on a Derech Rechoka. Now, tell Reb Nachman that that is about the most impractical suggestion I've ever heard. Who exactly is going to be dumb enough to volunteer, okay? You're going to find somebody, Man Sayed, who's going to listen to you. Do'okar Sike Umashkin. And he's going to pull up his stakes. We say this in English also, right? Pull up his stakes. The Sike is the stakes through his tent. He's going to pull up his stakes, tear down his tent, and then he starts running. Why does he have to start running? Because obviously he goes according to the Shita that a Derech Rechoka literally is a Derech Rechoka. So he has to be 15 mil from Yerushalayim. How's he going to get 15 mil from Yerushalayim before Chatzos? He's going to have to run. Just imagine this guy's carrying his and he's supposed to get out of there on a Derech Rechoka. Nobody's going to be dumb enough to do that Erev Pesach. Let me tell you, everybody's too busy to play games. All right, so basically the only practical solution we have is Rav's solution. Anyway, let's talk about other cases where we have to take into consideration the tuma of people who cannot be mitztarif to the Tmei Meisim because we can't count them in bringing a carbon betuma. Remember we said the only ones who can bring a carbon betuma are people who are carbon betuma because of Maga. So that could be either Tmei Meis or Tmei Sheretz. But someone with tumas Yotzel Abigufo, so we have the Zovin, Mitzorah, and things like that, they cannot ever bring betuma even if the Tmei Meis are bringing betuma. So let's talk about a case where actually most of the tzibur were zovim, and a miut of the tzibur were tamei mesim. So what do you do over there? Well, says Rav, you got a big problem, because those people are tamei mes. They can't make the rishon because they're not a rov, right? And only a rov of tamei mes can make a rishon. So they don't make the rishon, but they also don't make the sheni. It's very simple. They can't bring the carbon on the Pesach rishon because they're a miut, right? Bottom line is, are they rov of the tzibur? No, they're a miut of the tzibur. Well, a miut can't make betumas meis. Okay, so all right, fine, so we'll put them off to the next Pesach, Pesach Sheni, right? No, because by the time you get to Pesach Sheni, then you've got a problem, because the only time that you make a Pesach Sheni is where the tzibur made a Pesach Rishon. So kol eichad avdei tzibur b'rishon, avid yachid b'sheni. But because that's what it says in the Pasuk, right? Ish nitche v'lo atzibur nitche. So that would mean that the interrelationship of Ish asher hayatame is to the tzibur that did bring the carbon Pesach Rishon. In this case, the tzibur didn't bring the carbon Pesach Rishon, only the few individuals who were tar. Everybody else was tamei bezivas, and they couldn't bring it. The tamei mesim couldn't bring it. So what's that, 10% of the people bringing it? That's not called the tzibur bringing it. If the tzibur didn't bring the Rishon, then the yochid doesn't bring the sheni, because it's only the interrelationship of the Yachid and Tzibur that creates the Pesach Sheni. So the Yechidim say, it's not fair, Loma Nigara, right? That was their Lashon. How come we get left out? In this case, we mean, how come we get left out? Everybody got left out. It was only 10% of the people that brought the carbon. This wasn't the year in which we could have brought the carbon Pesach for you. That's all. So therefore, these people will not have an opportunity, because Kol Echad Lo Avdi Tzibur Berishon, Lo Avdi Yachid Basheni. Amalo Shmuel. So Shmuel said, oh man, I've heard weird stuff in my life. Will you please go tell Abba? He used to call Rav Abba. Remember this machlokas, whether his real name was Abba and Rav was Lechvodo. His real name was Rav and Abba was Lechvodo. But anyway, I just wanted to remind you of a pasuk you might have not read recently, which is Vayasu b'nei Yisrael et ha-Pesach b'moyadai. Did you remember that pasuk? That means that when you've got a problem, do it even though you've got a problem. Do it b'moado. What are you going to do with that pasuk? How can you tell me nobody brings the Korban Pesach? That's ridiculous. So if you have a rov, which is not tar, so then that would mean that you could be mitzarif. Those people who are tamei mates, they make it, even though they happen to be a miut. That seems to be the pashtus of what it is that Shmuel holds. I mean, others taina that Shmuel, what Shmuel is actually saying is that since we're not including the tamei share, the zovim bichlal, because they're not chayev in the Korban Pesach at this point, so memela, the tzibur consists only of the balance between the people who are tamei mesim and the people who aren't tamei mesim. And in that case, you do have rubam tameim, and because of that, the tameim should be able to bring it. Anyway, They told Rav that message from Shmuel, and he didn't exactly appreciate the sarcasm that much. So he said, okay, and why don't you go tell him, all right, that, I mean, by his logic, since it says in the Pasuk, you know, V'yasu b'nei Yisrael ta pasach b'moado, come hell or high water. What exactly are you suggesting, Shmuel, that should be done if the entire tzibur are zovim? Okay, so they can't bring the Korban Pesach. I mean, you're certainly not going to suggest, well, therefore, look, since we don't have any other option, you know, we're going to have to allow them in. You don't say that. You say, well, what can you do? The Pasuk is telling you to bring a Korban Pesach when you can bring a Korban Pesach. It's not telling you to bring the Korban Pesach when you can't. So given the loyev shar, obviously the Pasuk is not telling you that come hell or high water, you do it. It's telling you to keep within the getter of what the mitzvah is. I'm telling you, akonami loyev shar. This is within that getter, and you can't do it because we do not count those zovin towards the tumah. Now, what about a case if you have rove that are tmei meis and the miut are zovin? So now we have a very interesting question because, look, if the carbon itself was brought betumah, then does the entire idea in the Torah of ish ish kiyeh tameh, and he should bring a Pesach Sheni, does it apply? I mean, after all, we did bring the carbon betumah, so what's exactly your complaint? You know, just because I'm tameh, I can't bring it, that's not fair. Well, we brought it betumah. Now, it happens to be that you were a zav, right? And you couldn't bring it. But the halacha is that ein tashlumim lepesach haba betumah. We can't make up for the fact. The idea is that for tmeim, we allow you to make up when only the Tahorim had a chance to bring the Pesach Rishon. But if even tmeim had the chance to make a Pesach Rishon, then that doesn't follow the case where we have the special new halacha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells to Moshe Rabbeinu, yes, they're right, you know, help them out, let's have a Pesach Sheni. In this case, we brought the Pesach Rishon Betumah. Rav Ada Bar Ava says, not true. Yesh tashlumim lepesach haba betumah, even if the Pesach was haba betumah, that is irrelevant to the Zavim. The Zavim can still say, Loma nigara, what are we supposed to do? So who cares whether it was brought betumah or not? It says the Gemara, Lema bar kamifligin. Now, what is the two shitas over here as to whether or not we would be able to be giving those zovim a second chance? There's a machlokas over here between Ravuna and Ravada Barava. What exactly is the difference between them? So Lema bar kamifligin. The man yomer ein tashlumim lepesach haba betumah. If you hold like Ravuna, and there is no option, why is that? It's because he holds tumah is only dechuya betzibur. And therefore, it's only bekoshi that we're being matir, and this is not considered to be their normal korban pesach. It's not as if Torim brought it. Umandi omer yesh tashlum lepesach haba betumah. He holds tumah is hutra betzibur, and therefore, all intents and purposes, if we brought that korban betumah, it's precisely the same as bringing it betaira. There is no tumah when it comes to the tzibur. So basically, we're taking for granted that since the pasuk says ish kiyeh tameh, that means only in a case where an individual is tameh, and not when the tzibur is tameh. So ish kiyeh tameh means the tzibur is tahar, the ish is tameh. Yes, true. But if you hold that the halacha is that tumah is hutra betzibur, then for all intents and purposes, the tzibur is tahar, because we said it's irrelevant. There is no tumah betzibur, according to which this is a classic example of ish kiyeh tameh and not the tzibur, because there was no tumah in the tzibur. But if you hold that tumah is only dechuya betzibur, then the pasuk is saying, when do we say that the ish gets a special chance, kiyeh tameh? Only in the case where the tzibur was actually itself a proper korban. That's the point. Maybe that's the machlokas, and that would be dependent, of course, on whether tumah is hutra dechuya betzibur, which we discussed yesterday. Not necessarily, says the Gemara. It may well be that kuli alma tumah dechuya betzibur. Everybody agrees that it's not mamish the same, and the Torah obviously prefers taira to tumah. But all we're saying is that when it says in the pasuk ish nitche ve'in tzibur nidochin, it means that where the tzibur brought a korban, where does it say they have to bring the korban b'taira? It just means where the tzibur brought the carbon, then the individual couldn't bring the carbon as nitcha. That's all it's saying. So the machlokus is mar savar b'tahara, and tahara only is medachya. So when is the ish? The ish tamei, but the tzibur tahar. Whereas the other mandiyamar holds, not true. The ish means where the tzibur brought, not the tzibur necessarily had to bring b'taira, and therefore afilu tuma nami medachya. That's the way Tosis understands the Gemara, and it's very straightforward. Itma. How about in a case where we split it into thirds? I think we have an interesting situation. Let's say that one third of the tzibur are zavim, and one third of the tzibur are tahorim, and one third of the tzibur are tamei mesim. Now, says Ramani Bar Patish, now we got into trouble, because we're going to be measuring the people that are roi for Pesach Rishon differently than those that are going to be roi for Pesach Sheni. And because of that, you really end up with a big problem. Because the ones who are one-third of the tzibur and are tamei mes, they cannot make the Pesach at all that year. Not the Pesach Rishon and not the Pesach Sheni. You know why? Because they can't make the Pesach Rishon because they're only a miut. And there, you have to add the Zavin third to the Tahorim third, right? And together, those two thirds cannot make Petuma, which means neither can the remaining third who are Tamei Mesim. So they're stuck. They cannot make that Korban. Okay. So now they're a miut. Miut lo avde Barishon. Now we get the Pesach Sheni. Okay, fine, I wasn't able to make the Pesach Rishon. That doesn't mean you can make the Pesach Sheni, because now what is the situation in terms of Rova the Tzibur? Well, now the Zavin, who meanwhile have become Tahar, are added to the other third. Oh my gosh, we got two-thirds of the people that want to bring a Pesach Sheni, but two-thirds of the people can never bring a Pesach Sheni because only an Ish is Nitcha, and not a Tzibur is Nitcha. So in this case, because of the variability of where that extra third goes to, in the first Pesach, it goes together with the Tahorim. But in the second Pesach, it goes together with the Bei Mesim. So now you're stuck, because you can't bring the Rishon because you're a Miut, and you can't bring the Sheni because there you're the Rov. And therefore, Havilu Ruba, Veruba Lo Mitcho, Le Pesach Sheni. So that would explain how we would deal with that third. And now we are ready to deal with our magic Capitan. Excellent. We got a sharp today. So we say in this case, and we've been talking about what to do lichatchila in the case of the yochid, in the case of the tzibur. Now, what happens if b'di'avad? So let's say that you went ahead, you brought your Korban Pesach, little did you know that you were tamei. You thought you were tahor. So, achar kach noda shehu tamei, afterwards it turns out that either the dam was tamei or the butzer was tamei, at least according to Rashi. It's not so pashut because, as Tosis points out, this is going to involve us in the whole discussion of Rabbi Nosson and so on before. So Tosis wants to limit it to the dam. Okay, so we found out that the dam was tamei. So the tzitz would be miratzeh b'di'avad, and therefore he is not going to have to make a Pesach Sheni. Now, he can't eat the meat, obviously, because the tzitz is not miratzeh on the meat. And what are we going to do, therefore? Nothing. So the tzitz would be meratzeh. That's the problem if we learn it's the meat. Nitma haguf. Now, suppose he turns out to have been tamei. Then what? Well, then the tzitz is not meratzeh because the tzitz is not meratzeh on the person. He would have to make the Pesach Sheni because if you were tamei be Pesach Rishon, then you have to bring a Pesach Sheni. So the only thing that the tzitz can be meratzeh on is to make the carbon kosher. But it can't make the person who's bringing the carbon kosher. And therefore, in atzitz miratze. Mipnei she'amru, ha-nazir v'ozeh Pesach. Whether you're a nazir or whether you're someone bringing your carbon Pesach, the tumah will be miratze on the carbon if the dam is tamei. But if the nazir turns out to be tamei, what's the tzitz going to do? If the nazir turns out to be tamei, his naziris has to start over again. He can't bring these karbonas, right? And therefore, it's not going to do a darn thing. And it can also not help for the person who is Tomei for the Korban Pesach, because in that case, there's nothing that he can do with his Korban Pesach. He has to be roy to eat the meat of the Pesach. Everybody agreed to that. Even Rabbi Nassin and Rabbi Yeshua agreed to that. The person has to be roy to eat the meat. And over here, the person is not roy to eat the meat. So there's nothing to do. Now, what about in the unusual case that it turns out he was Tomei, but he was Tomei betumat tehom? Now, tumat tehom is a very complex sugya that we'll be getting into, but in this case, we'll just take it very easy. Tumat tehom is a suffix tuma, as Rashi explains here, that there was no way that anyone knew about it. So let's say a person falls into the ocean, is dragged out. Nobody even knew that he was drowned and that his body came to rest in a particular place. Or a person was skiing on a mountain and got buried under an avalanche and so on. So over there, if we just know a guy disappeared, we have absolutely no way of identifying anything about where it was. And then it turns out that this person might have come into contact with that body, with that mace. So the halacha is that that is a special halacha l'moshe misinai, that in the event that it's tumas tehom, then it is not going to cancel the naziras, and then it would be okay. So in that case, atzitz meratzeh, magically, because of the halacha l'moshe misinai, since you found out about this only afterwards. Okay. Now, says the Gemara, the point of the Mishnah is that you were Zorek the Dam, and then it turned out that you found out that you were Tomei. Or you found out that the Dam was Tomei. So that's where we make the distinction between Tumas HaGuf and Tumas HaKorban. But suppose you knew that the Dam was Tomei, and then you did the Zrik of the Dam. The mashmaot of the Mishnah is very clearly that the tzitz will not be meratzah. But how do we explain that in light of the following? Al ma tzitz meratzah, al adam ve'al habasar ve'al hachelev, that became tamei, whether it was b'shogeg or b'mezid or b'ones or b'rotzan or b'yochid or b'tzibor, makes no difference. I mean, that seems to be saying, even if you were zorek the dam b'mezid, you knew it was tamei, still, the tzitz will be meratzah. So this doesn't fit with the Mishnah. Om Ravino, wait a second. This is very opaque, okay? Bein b'mezid, bein, I mean, what was b'mezid? The tumah was b'mezid? Or the act of the zrika was b'mezid? Now, you have not explained yourself. There's a big difference between the two cases, all right? One of them is talking about where the tumah was bemazed, but the zrika was b'shogeg. And one is talking about where the zrika was bemazed, but the tumah was b'shogeg. Now, as to which case is which, that's a machlokas. Ravina says that when it comes to the tumah, then it's true. Bein b'shogeg, bein bemazed. As long as it wasn't tumah on purpose, then the tzitz is meratzah. But if you went ahead and you bedafka, were did a zrika on dam that was puzzle? That's outrageous. And that the tzitz would not be meratza on. So b'shogeg hurtza, b'mezid lo hurtza. Rabbi Shila says, no, just the opposite. According to Ravina, that was what the Mishnah was talking about. But I say that actually the zrika can be done, whether it's b'shogeg or b'mezid. The question is, how did the tumah get here? If the tumah was b'shogeg, then it's okay. But if the tumah was b'mezid, then the tzitz is not going to be meratzah when you do the zrika. And so, wait, so then how do you explain the b'raisa according to the way Rav Shila is saying it? No, when the b'raisa says, bein b'shogeg, bein b'mezid, it doesn't mean the tumah. It means nitma b'shogeg. Then if you did the zrika, bein b'shogeg, bein b'mezid, that it would be hurtza. In which case the Mishnah is saying, Elibet Rav Shila, Hodiktani dam shenizrak vechakach noda, that is because it was taima the nizrak vechakach noda, avol noda vechakach nizrak lo. That's not the correct implication, according to me. The truth is, hu adin dafilu noda vechakach nizrak. It doesn't matter, because according to me, even if you knew that the dam was tamei before, as long as it became tamei b'shogeg, it would be okay. When it says Nizrak v'chakach noda, the only reason it puts it that way, which is a bit misleading, is because it wanted to say in the Sefer the words Nitmaguf ain't a tzitz meratza. And over there, the tzitz would not be meratza at all, even if it was first Nizrak and then it was Noida. No. So because of that, it says in the Reisha that if it was Nizrak and then it was Noida, but it's referring to a case where the Tumah was Beshogeg, in order to contrast that with your own body being Tameh, and you shouldn't think that it made a difference whether your body was Tameh ben Mesir or Beshogeg, that's why it said it in that fashion. Okay, and then we added Nitma Betuma'ata to home. So then we have Alokha L'Meshe Mi-Sinai, that it is Meratz. Boy Rami Bar Choma. How does this affect the Kohen who's doing the Avoda? Is this only a din in the Korban, or is this a din in the Kohen? Let's imagine a situation. A Kohen has been sitting there working. He's being Meratza with your Korbanos. Now, it turns out that he was Tomei Betuma Tahom with this suffix of the Tahom. So normally, obviously, if the Kohen was Betomei, he would Pasol, even B'diavad, he would Pasol the Avoda. But is that true even if it was Tumat HaTahom or not? Mi Amrinan Kigmiri Tumat HaTahom. Do we say that the Halacha L'Meshe Mi-Sinai that was taught to us, that had to do where the owner had this problem of Tumat HaTahom? It wasn't a din in the one who did the Aveda, or is it a din in this Korban? This Korban is not to be affected by Tumat HaTahom type of suffix, and therefore the Zivcha Gemiri, and I don't care whether it's the Kohen, I don't care if it's the Bilem, but any problem that has to do with a goof that was Mitame Tumat HaTahom is not going to affect the Korban. Of course, if Moshe keeps staring out of the window, it definitely will affect the kashrus of the korban, because hesek hadas is definitely a pagam. Omar Rava, Tashma, I'll bring you a raya. The Tani Rebbe Chia, here in the Braita, it says lo omru tumas atahom ela lemeit bilvad. The holding of tumas atahom is limited to tumas meis. Now, tell me what not only meis, but what? So, lav lamute tumas atom to sheretz, but not a sheretz. How would we have tumas atom of sheretz? Well, we could have a case where a dead sheretz had been buried in an avalanche and a guy stuck his hand in. I mean, it's not the same, obviously, as walking across where it's easy to conceive of a situation. But over here, the guy was sticking his hand in looking for lost artifacts, and he was with Barnea doing an archaeological dig. And so the question is whether he came in contact with that sheretz. Okay, so that would be a tumas atom to sheretz. So now, explain to me where we're talking about the sheretz. We're talking about the bilim, that maybe the bilim became tamei b'sheretz. Which case? The case of nazir tumas atom? I mean, nazir tumas sheretz is irrelevant. The only thing that affects a nazir is tumas meis. It says beferish in a pasuk. I mean, nazir b'mahani be. It says ki amut meit alav amrachmona. Only meit, nothing else. Okay, so we can't be talking about the tumas nazira b'sheretz b'zinziret. So we got to be talking about an osa pesach. Well, it's not going to work out very well in Oza Pesach unless you hold Ein Shochtim V'Zorken Al Tameh Sheretz. But what about if you hold Shochtim V'Zorken Al Tameh Sheretz? So then it would be ridiculous to talk about Tumas at the home of Sheretz, even if you knew that you're Tameh B'Sheretz. It wasn't a suffix, and it certainly wasn't a suffix of Tumas at the home. Hashta Tumah Yedua would be mutter for him to send his carbon, and as long as he can eat that carbon tonight. You're telling me we need a Halakha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai to tell me it's okay if Tumas at the home? Please. So that's crazy. Ah, there's only one case where it would be important, and that is where the Kohen had been tamei by a tumas atom of sheretz. So you see, we're taking for granted shema mina hutrolo tumas atom. So there's my raya. Is no way to understand the discussion in the Braita unless it's a reference we're just taking for granted that it would be a din in the Kohen as well. Rav Yosef, not necessarily, because maybe we're talking about the bilim, okay. And when we're saying tumas lo omru, tumas atahom ela b'meis, you're the guy who jumped to the conclusion that ela b'meis, but not b'sheretz. That's not the correct conclusion. It was eno ela b'meit, but not tumat atahom of ziva. So there's always a tumat atahom of ziva, because basically you had no way of knowing whether you were going to have this third re'iyah that would be matami you or not. And therefore, that is called a Tumas HaTorma of Ziva, and that would not be Meratzen. Now, we're going to question that assumption tomorrow, but meanwhile, we have finished our quota for the day, which brings us up to our next Mishnah in Masechet Ohalot.